This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Over the Rhine has transformed into one of Cincinnati's most vibrant neighborhoods for both residents and tourists to the city. Now you can stroll through Over the Rhine and learn more about its German heritage and architecture with the Over the Rhine Tour Guide. Cincinnati's historic German district, Over the Rhine and Environs. The book's author, Dr. Heinrich Tolzmann, joins us for a look at the neighborhood's history and what its buildings can tell us today. Let us know your impressions of Over the Rhine, your favorite things to see in this historic neighborhood, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Don, good to see you this afternoon.
Guten Tag, good to see you.
Thank you. Now, why did you decide to write this book?
Well, I have been teaching about German heritage for many years at the University of Cincinnati, and when I retired, I had so many requests to put together a tour guide of the district, so I literally went up and down every single street and alley and researched many buildings and sites. Altogether, I have covered about 150 sites in the book. There are, of course, many more, but I tried to concentrate on the ones that were really interesting or symbolic or had a story to tell about the persons who lived there.
So you put a lot of legwork into this book and a lot of other research. Was it tough to put this together?
It took a lot of research, just being there on site and exploring buildings, talking to people. And I'd like to emphasize, too, it's for the Over the Rhine District and environs, because I cover areas that are adjacent to the district. There are so many places that are important for German immigration, settlement, and heritage in the area. So it's such a fascinating part of the city. And even to this day, it's probably the one neighborhood that's the most sharply defined. Everybody knows the borders of Over the Rhine, but they probably don't know the borders for many other neighborhoods.
Yeah, it's what, about a 2-square-mile area, isn't it? And there's just a lot of history packed into that small area.
A lot of history is packed into that area, and it goes back to the Miami-Erie Canal that was built there from and completed in 1828 and encircled on the west and the southern part of the district, and then it fed into the Ohio River. And Germans first started settling there in the 1830s in the elbow of the canal. The canal was in place up until 1920 when work began on the subway, and it was dug up and unfortunately gotten rid of. I wish we still had the canal. I think we could have gondola boats on it, and it would be a great tourist attraction.
Wouldn't that be neat? I'd like to see that, actually, Don. Was there anything that came as a surprise to you when you were writing this book?
Well, just that there are so many important institutions there. One thing I think is important for the area is are there many churches in Over the Rhine, and that more often than not, these churches are the mother church for all the churches or most of them in the tri-state of a certain denomination. So if you trace the genealogy of churches, more often than not, they go back to the Over the Rhine district. So it's, for that reason, very important. And to trace that factor.
What are some of the other points of interest that the book covers?
Well, I cover some of where some of the old German houses were, the meeting houses. I cover the architecture in Over the Rhine. How people built their homes is very interesting. They really build according to what I call a German template. The houses are built close and flush to the street, usually with brick construction, because many people were from northern Germany. Also, the homes, I'm often asked, why are they so narrow? And it's because in Germany, you are taxed according to the width of the building. So when people came here, they were of the mindset that they should build their homes narrow.
Old like, habits die hard.
Yes.
Interesting. So if you only had a short amount of time to take a tour of the neighborhood, what's a good starting point? What are some of the key places you should check out first?
Well, one of the places I like to begin is on Central Parkway and Race, because at that intersection, there's a mural of the canal, and you get a good picture of what the canal looked like with the canal boats and then with the bridges going across the canal. And of course, it was said that when you crossed over the bridge, you were going over the Rhine into the German district. And from there, you can circle around down to Elm Street into Washington Park, see some of the churches in that neighborhood, the music hall, proceed down to Findlay Market, and then to the, of course, to the Brewery District, and then come back down Race Street, and then over to Main Street, to Vine Street, in that area.
That's something I never knew, where the name of Over the Rhine came from. It was crossing over the canal that was crossing over the Rhine?
Yes. The name of the canal is officially was Miami-Erie Canal, but nobody ever really called it that because all these German immigrants were coming here, so it soon became known as the Rhine. And thereafter, it was said when you went over the bridge, you were going over the Rhine. And that canalway was so important because people had these canal boats, and they would it was used for trade, commerce, and travel. Many of the brewers had their farms up by Westchester, and they would take their canal boats up and down, back and forth there. Actually, at one time, it was very attractive. There were a lot of trees and flowers lining the canal. In the wintertime, kids would skate on the canal, and that's why I kind of look back nostalgically, wishing we still had it or parts of it.
There are lots of monuments in Over the Rhine as well, aren't there?
There are many monuments, especially I would point out some in Washington Park. There's a monument to Friedrich Hecker, who was a leader of the 1848 revolution in Germany. And he came here in 1848 after the revolution failed, and he helped found the Turner Society, which was a German gymnastics society. And all of its members were in very good physical condition. And when the Civil War broke out, all of its members joined the Union Army and became the 9th Ohio Regiment. And they elected an Anglo-American who has a monument also in Washington Park, Colonel McCook. He also has a monument there. And it was actually his idea that a German regiment be formed. Several of the regiments actually were recruited in Washington Park, too, we might note.
Now, what's your favorite of all the sites?
I guess my favorite site is the Germania Building on Walnut Street, 12th and Walnut. It's called the Germania Building. It was built in 1877. It was built by Heinrich Rothermann, and it was the German Mutual Insurance Company. And it has a beautiful statue of Germania in the front of the building, which represents and symbolizes German culture. And on the top of the building is a very nice German inscription. And during the First World War, it was covered up because of the anti-German hysteria of the time. And I'm glad to say that this past summer that the covering over that inscription was removed for the first time since the First World War, and I think it's kind of indicative of the rediscovery of German heritage and the renaissance of Over the Rhine.
We will continue our tour of Over the Rhine, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon is Dr. Don Heinrich Toltzman. His new book is The Over the Rhine Tour Guide. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk with Peter in Mount Airy. Hi, Peter.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I've always been in awe of the architecture in Over the Rhine, especially the churches and the houses. But I was wondering what the author of the book thought about the recent history of Over the Rhine that has is in large part about Appalachians and African Americans, and the institutions that they've built in the neighborhood, and how those two work together, especially considering the changes that are happening in the neighborhood recently. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, Over the Rhine has been a place that has received immigrants and settlers from its very beginning. So it is a continuing, ongoing story of people coming to the city, getting established here. It's been kind of a way station for coming into the city. And I think each group has made an impact on the area. One of the areas, I think, is in terms of food. You see that at Findlay Market, where you see all kinds of vendors displaying their foods. You have German, Italian, Asian, soul food, you name it, everything's there. So I think all of these groups have helped contribute to making Over the Rhine what it is, and especially today where a lot of people are starting to recognize how important it is for the area that it be a vibrant community.
Yeah, speaking of immigrants to Over the Rhine, a name many of us would recognize, especially if we drink beer, was Christian Moorline. Now, what part did he play in Over the Rhine's history?
Christian Moorline was the major brewer here in Cincinnati, and he was in the brewery district in the northwest corner of Over the Rhine. And when he came here to America, he actually just had a few dollars in his pocket. And when he got to Over the Rhine, I think he saw that he could make a go of it and make some money by going into brewing with all the Germans that were here. And he carved out a really large section, too, of Over the Rhine in the northwest corner. And many of those buildings are still there. Unfortunately, the brew house was torn down in 1947. And it brings up another point that I try to bring out in the book, that there is so much that's still there and Over the Rhine, but unfortunately, a lot of historic buildings have been torn down.
Now, how much of the personality of the people who founded Over the Rhine can we still see in the community today?
Well, I think you see a lot of the personality of the people who settled in Over the Rhine throughout this area. They had a lot of determination, persistence, and thriftiness. They showed that you could make it here by hard work, and I think that's part of what helped make Cincinnati what it is today.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and let's talk with Pete. Hi, Pete.
Hello.
Go ahead.
About a building that I see often in the Over the Rhine area. It's at the bottom of Vine Street, and I think McMicken. I'm not sure about that, but it's kind of a triangle building, and it's got large stones, like almost basketball size, for the walls. And I'm just wondering if the author knows anything about the origin of that building.
That triangular building, as I recall, was a bank originally. And it's kind of interesting, the shape of that building, but there are a number of buildings like that that were built to conform with the street corners, and they're kind of oddly shaped. There's several like that. They were built to conform to the street layout plan. A lot of interesting construction, but one thing I emphasize too is there's a lot of use of brick. And again, it goes back to the origin of the immigrants from northern Germany. They preferred brick, and many of these buildings were well constructed, especially the brewery buildings.
Now, Over the Rhine, something I never realized either, it was once one of the most densely populated communities in the whole country, wasn't it?
Very densely populated. It's thought that at one time it had up to 75,000 people. And when you drive through Over the Rhine, you'll see these buildings that are 3, 4, 5, 6 stories tall. So it was very heavily populated, densely populated, when you think about 75,000 people. And when the neighborhood came to decline in the late 20th century, it probably had less than 10% of that population. So for a time there, the Over the Rhine district was almost basically vacant until it started to really be rediscovered and explored and refurbished. And now people are flooding into the area. And it used to be a lot of these buildings could be scarfed up for relatively cheaply, but now they're going for some
they're
high prices.
They're going for a premium, aren't they?
Yes.
Was one of the reasons it was such a densely populated area because of all the breweries, which translated into there were jobs there that people could get?
That was part of it. There were a lot of jobs there. When you had 18 breweries in the Over the Rhine district, they employed an awful lot of people in the breweries themselves and then in all the related industries, the cafes, the restaurants, the beer gardens, the stables, the people who made wagons, wagon wheels, harnesses. I think we can estimate about maybe 5,000 people worked in the brewing and related industries, and also the churches, the number of churches in Over the Rhine, many of them had well over 1,000 members. So when Prohibition came along, it really knocked the economic foundations away from Over the Rhine, and that's when it started really to decline when Prohibition was enacted.
Well, also, something else that hurt the community, if I understand the history right, was during World War One. The fact that it was a German community, that created a lot of challenges for Over the Rhine, didn't it?
It was very difficult for the Over the Rhine district during the First World War. Well, for example, the street names were changed, the German street names. Now, one of them recently, we've had informational signs put up on these street names that were changed, but that hurt the district an awful lot. There was a German bilingual school there, the 6th District Elementary School on Elm Street. That was a very prominent bilingual school. And German was then removed from the schools at that time. All of the churches also felt the pressure in Over the Rhine because they held German services. And all of a sudden, being German and having German services and programs was politically incorrect. Also, it was against the law to have public meetings in the German language. Well, for the many German singing societies, it was impossible to have a Sängerfest or a song festival and even sing German songs. And that anti-German hysteria was very difficult, and then it was followed by Prohibition. And at the same time, then in 1920, the canal around the district was dug up and removed. So Over the Rhine really got a triple whammy
at
that time.
It took some lumps, didn't it? Yeah.
Took some real lumps then.
Let's talk with Justin. Hi, Justin.
Hi. I had a question. You had mentioned the destruction of some of the buildings, and I've driven through Over the Rhine a lot, and I'm always impressed with how many of the original buildings there still seem to be. I was just wondering if you could comment on what you think will happen in the future if the fact that there's new interest in the area and it's kind of being revitalized, if developers might come in and buy some of these buildings and decide it's cheaper to just tear them down and build something new, which would be unfortunate. Could you comment on that?
Okay, thank you, Justin.
Yeah, I think what you see in a lot of these areas thus far is that the buildings that are there are being refurbished and rehabbed and are not being torn down, which I think is a good sign. For example, 3CDC has done an awful lot to refurbish buildings in the Over the Rhine district. There are some buildings that are not in a good enough condition to restore. I think that has to be recognized, too. There are some buildings that are not restorable, but most of them are. And as a matter of fact, when you go to some of these brewery buildings, like the Moorline buildings, it's remarkable the condition they're in. They were so well built, the brick buildings. It's incredible. And I've seen this over and over again. Many buildings, they're bought up and they're gutted, maybe from floor to ceiling. They're gutted, but then the insides are totally rebuilt and refurbished. So I think that's what's going to happen. New construction is going to be in accord with the architectural styles there.
Let's talk with Billy in Over the Rhine. Hi, Billy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I my wife and I live up on McMicken, and we're interested in church revitalization and also church planting in Over the Rhine, and I was wondering what the author would say about, for those who are interested in that kind of work, what about the story and the history of Over the Rhine, and especially churches in Over the Rhine, would be important to understand?
Well, that is a very important story, and I try to point out that many of the churches there are the mother church of churches throughout the tri-state, and many of the churches there are still functioning, some of them with the original congregations and their descendants. Other ones are inner city missions. There's only a few that weren't functioning. One has been turned into Taft's Ale House. The other, St. John's, across from Washington Park, is also being rehabbed. But I think a real future of these churches is that they're going to be growing and expanding. And one I might point out is across from Washington Park, the Ray Street Methodist Church, which partnered with the Hyde Park Methodist Church and now is spinning off independently, and I think is really going to increase in membership, because especially with many of the people moving into Over the Rhine.
So despite the ups and downs that Over the Rhine's gone through its history, you see a bright future for the neighborhood?
I think I see a bright future for it and for the city of Cincinnati. And I think for all too long, the Over the Rhine district was kind of overlooked and ignored. And in the recent past, people have realized what a gem it is for its architecture, and it's for its history. And for the city to be vital and to grow and develop, we need a healthy Over the Rhine.
Don, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Danke schön.
Dr. Don Heinrich-Toltzman, his new book is The Over the Rhine Tour Guide, Cincinnati's Historic German District, Over the Rhine and Environs. Coming up, a conversation with the CSO's William White and two young musicians who just performed at Carnegie Hall. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.